tonight, and he's no stranger to our church. He really needs no introduction. He's a man really without description. He defies description in most cases. And we want you to feel at home this week, Brother Dave. We sure love you, and we're so glad that you're here. Can we welcome Brother Dave to our pulpit?
All right. I think I'm turned on. Hey, if I say Hebrews chapter 11, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Okay, seven people. That's a blessing. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. We'll work on that. Hebrews chapter 11. We're happy to be here with you, looking forward to what God's going to do. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's do some work. Okay. All right, verse number one. Now, faith is the substance. If we stopped right there, if we put a period after the word substance, it would be a complete sentence. So it would be a complete thought. Now, faith is the substance. The reason I make an issue of that is because some people think faith is unknowable. It's ethereal. It's kind of mystical. You're not really sure, but you think you do. I'm pretty sure. I think I got it. And some people, but the Bible says faith is the substance. It is substantive. It's an ingredient. It's part of the Christian life. In fact, after you get saved, the just shall live by faith. And so it's supposed to be something that we know. It's not something that we're trying for, that we're shooting for. Faith is the substance, and it says it's the substance of things hoped for. That means there's something in front of me that I don't have, but I'm hoping for it. I have a desire for it. I'm interested in it. I want to have it, but I don't have it yet. But I'm the substance of what I'm hoping for, I don't have. Now, if I have it, I wouldn't need to faith it. So it's something in front of me that I'm interested in that I'd like to have. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then it says, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it, but I have evidence. What's the evidence? Faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I like to say that it's evidentiary. It would be like in a courtroom that if a lawyer is standing before the judge and the jury, he's trying to convince the jury and the judge of his perspective and the facts that he has. And so he begins to lay out evidence to prove his point. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it. I'm hoping for it. I'm interested in it. I'd like to have it. I can't see it. I don't have it yet, but I have substance. I have evidence. You got evidence? Yes. What is it? Faith. Since I know where I'm standing, I would say that everyone in this room believes in a place called heaven. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. We believe there's a heaven. But we've never seen it. We're hoping for it. We have a desire for it. We're interested in it. But we've never seen it. But we know it's there. How do you know? I have evidence. Really? Let me see the evidence. It's faith. Is everybody paying attention? See, if God would take us all up to heaven for 20 seconds, boom, bring us right back, whoa, we wouldn't need faith anymore. We've seen it. We've been there. You wouldn't have to faith it anymore. Say, I've seen it. But we have evidence that heaven is there. No, none of us have ever seen Jesus. But we know he's in heaven. We know he's alive. We know him to be real, but we've not seen him. How do you know he's real? I have evidence. Okay, what's your evidence? Faith. Many people are not satisfied with that evidence. But it's supposed to be so evidentiary and supposed to be so much substance that they ought to be able to look at our life and go, that's real. Is anybody hearing me? Now, we know what faith is in this room. We know, the definition's here, part of the definition, you could say. Faith is belief, it's trust. But true faith, and because where I'm standing, we are Baptist. Since the beginning that the church began, Baptists have been persecuted, tortured, or some have been martyred because of the stand that Baptists take, that the Bible is so specific of what salvation is. Salvation is by grace through. The only way to be born again is by faith alone. It's not faith and, it's not faith plus, it's faith alone. So because of our understanding and awareness of what salvation is, we know what faith is. Faith is trust, it's belief, it's confidence, it's 100% reliance, dependence, watch, upon Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Is everybody with me? We know, I'm telling you, a good Bible preacher, a good Baptist Bible preacher will preach over and over and over that salvation is by faith and nothing else. True confidence, true assurance, true dependence, true reliance upon Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Mm-hmm. We will almost beat up somebody. We really want to. If someone says, oh, man, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. And I'm going to live the best I can, and maybe I'll make it. And we go, hey, that's not salvation. You don't trust Jesus and do the best you can. Someone says, okay, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. Please be my Savior, and I'll get baptized, and maybe then you'll forgive me. It's not baptism. It's not trusting Jesus and giving a big offering to the church. It won't help. It's not trusting Jesus and giving a gigantic offering to the evangelist. He will take it. But it's not going to save you. Amen? Amen? It's not faith and, not faith plus. It's faith solely, totally, only, reliance, dependence upon the Lord Jesus. Amen. Mercy. The Bible makes an issue of that. We make an issue of it. And that is the huge difference often between what Baptists believe and everybody else. Regardless, I'm just trying to get across what faith is, and that faith is total reliance, dependence upon God or Jesus Christ alone. Is everybody with me? Okay. So it's substantive and it's evidentiary. You can know it, that your reliance, your dependence is solely, totally upon Jesus. All right, now I want to show you something. Go to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 6. And what I'm going to tell you right now is that I'm going to read a verse to you in John 6. I'm only going to explain and talk about the first half of the verse. I'm going to read the whole verse. The second half of the verse, to some people, can be a head-scratcher. To some people, they go, whoa, what is that talking about? How do we do that? To some people, now some of you might not be an issue at all, but some people you're going, I'd like to know what that's about. Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm not telling you. I'm not going to try to get that across. If it bothers you a whole bunch, that you go, I got to know, I need to know. Well, make an appointment with your pastor and he'll explain it to you like that. Be real easy. Here we go. John chapter 6, verse 57. as the living Father hath sent me. Let's just stop right there. Let's stop, stop. Please look up here. Can anybody in the room tell me who is speaking in verse 57? How do you know it's Jesus? It's in red letters, honey. Amen. Don't get all mixed up here. It's red. Now, if you do not have red letters, that does not mean you have a cheap Bible. But some of us got red, and we know the Lord is talking. Amen? All right, here we go. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. The first half of the verse, it sounds like to me that Jesus is saying that God sent me, the Father did, and I live by him. See, I get my direction from the Father. I get my strength from the Father. I get my ability from the Father. I live by the Father. Does everybody hear that? I don't think that I'm stretching anything. I don't think I'm confusing anything. I don't think we're trying to rearrange it. I think that the Lord himself says, I'm living in dependence and reliance, trusting my Father. Amen? I think that's what he's saying. Maybe it's possible if Jesus is trying to get across to us, his disciples, if he's trying to tell us, now listen, guys, listen, I live by the Father. I live in dependence upon the Father. It might be that he's trying to tell us, if I live by dependence on the Father, you should too. Go backwards one page, chapter 5. Let me show you something. Some red letters again, verse 30. 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is judged, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That first phrase there, I can of mine own self do nothing. Jesus Christ in chapter 6 says, I live in dependence, reliance upon my Father. And then in chapter 5, he's already said, hey, on my own, I can do nothing. I can't do it. Mercy. I don't know if that bothers you or not, but it sounds like Jesus is saying, I can't do it on my own. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was like God. My dad is in heaven. My dad and I went on a preacher's trip together. I was young. I was just a year or two out of the college and was working at a church. And he and I drove down to a preacher's meeting, heard preaching that night, stayed in the same hotel, and then heard preaching the next day. We were driving back. And driving back, my dad has the ability, had the ability to, when he started to explain something or describe something, or define something, he said, man, deep thinker. Knew the Bible, theologic, man. Anyway, he could talk about stuff and go down deep, way down, and stay down there a long time. And I'm thinking, I ain't sure what we're talking about right now. He had the ability to do that. And so he said, coming back from that meeting, he said these words, son, I don't have any trouble with Jesus being God, but every once in a while I struggle with him being man. I looked at my dad and I said, I know what you mean. Because I wasn't ready to go down. I wasn't ready for it. I just said, okay. But off and on, those words would roll around in my brain and I'd think about it. And, you know, praise the Lord that I have been a student of the Bible and a teacher of the Bible and so on. Come across that issue occasionally. Now, see, Jesus is every bit God. He's not part God. He's not some God. He's not God in... Whoa, peace. What in the world is that about? Give me a heart attack right here. Okay. He is not God in man. He's not man in God. He's the indescribable, undefinable God-man. Every bit God and every bit man. And some people go, really? Yes. Can you describe that? I just said it was undefinable, indescribable. But he is altogether God and altogether man. Is everybody with me? In the beginning was the capital W, Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The capital W, Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus. He's God. Everybody with me? But he's every bit man. So when Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing, I said, oh, wait a minute. I thought he knew everything. Last night, Pastor didn't know this. I knew I was going to say it this morning, but he mentioned a friend of mine, Brother Dave Hardy, spoke a couple years ago at a meeting that he was at and was a blessing to the pastor. He preached about the power of Jesus and when the power of Jesus became evident. And in the message, as he was laying the foundation for this, he was saying that Jesus' power became manifest or evident after he was baptized and after he was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. Because the Bible says that Jesus was driven by the Spirit after he was baptized into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. So, Brother Hardy said these words. I don't know if Jesus knew that after he got baptized, he was going to be driven by the Spirit into the wilderness and tempted of the devil. I was sitting right over there, and I was saying, how can you say you don't know if Jesus knew? How can you say that? Jesus knows everything. He knew Nathanael before he ever saw him. He knew he was going to be crucified. How can you say you don't know if Jesus knew? And then I have a little thingy, Bob. I have a dinger in my head. And every once in a while, the dinger goes off. And while I was in this big argument with Brother Hardy, now it wasn't out loud, it was inside my heart. But I was in this big argument, the dinger went off, and it went, ding. And I went, that's what your dad said. I don't have any trouble with Jesus being God, I have trouble with him being man. Because every one of us believe Jesus can walk on water. We believe he can raise the dead, heal the blind. He can speak to the climate. He can speak to weather and say, peace, be still. And it will. Amen? We know he's God. We don't have any trouble with that. But when someone says, I don't know if Jesus knew, you're going to wait just a minute, Bubba. He's God. No, he's every bit man, too. Excuse me, as a man, you and I do not know. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We don't know. We don't know where for sure we'll be tomorrow morning. We have an idea, but we might be at the hospital and didn't want to be there. Is anybody hearing me? We don't know. When Brother Hardy said that I don't know if Jesus knew, the dinger went off, and that's exactly that Jesus is every bit man. See, we'll let him be a little bit man. Okay, he got hungry. Okay, he got a little tired. He sat on the well. He got thirsty. But we don't let him be altogether man. But he was altogether man. Excuse me. As his own self, he could do nothing. He lived in complete 100% total reliance, dependence upon the Father. Is everybody hearing me? So when Jesus went through everything he went through as a human, he had to live in dependence upon his Father. He had to live by faith. Is everybody with me? If Jesus had to live by faith, I think it's very possible he said, now listen, you need to learn to live by faith. Is everybody with me? Oh. It doesn't matter what arena of life or what area of life that I could bring up. We could talk about health. We could talk about family. We could talk about relationships. We could talk about work. We could talk about intellect. We could talk about study. We could talk about money. It doesn't matter what area of life. Every area of life, we're supposed to live by faith. Now, the easiest one, in my opinion, to describe is, it's very easy anyway, is money. I've heard that there are some people that have been born into a family, that family is so wealthy that that child never one time in its life, as it grew up and went through college, that child never one time said, I wonder if I could afford one of them. I wonder if I can make the payment on that. No, they've never had a money issue ever. I've heard there are people like that. I've never met them yet. I want to. I want to give them a big hug. But I personally, I've had issues financially. I've had the crunch come down and timetable. Mercy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You go, oh, we're in trouble now. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't believe this broke too. Now we have one of those and I'm in trouble. I lost my job. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You're going to take care of this. This is awesome. But if you don't hurry up and do something really quick, I don't know what's going to happen because I can't take it much longer because I don't know if they're going to give me any more time. Okay, I'm going to trust you, God. Hallelujah, I can trust you. But God, I'm not sure what you want me to do. You want me to get another job? You want me to sell something? You want me to sell one of the kids? Maybe that'll help. I don't know. What do you want me to do, God? Because I'm going to trust you. And then, excuse me, I don't know if you're listening or not, but most of us bounce in and out of faith. We trust God because we know we're supposed to. But we live like this because we don't know if we can take it. Is anybody hearing me? Yeah. Most of us bounce in and out of faith. Since we're talking about it, you brought it up. I'll just say this. We give each other a pass. When you start wringing your hands and start being all nervous and all upset, no, you don't know what you're going to do. Here's what we do. I know it's really hard to trust God, but you can. You're just going to have to trust Him. Do the best you can. I know it's hard. It's not an easy thing you're going through. And we give each other a pass that it's okay if you're over here wringing your hands, pulling your hair out, and all full of nervousness and all of that. That's not living by faith. Faith is complete dependence, reliance, totally 100% upon Jesus, not Jesus and wringing your hands. Not Jesus and being full of nerves. Well, I can't help it. That's how God made me. Ah, don't say that. I just want to poke somebody in the eye when they say stupid stuff like that. All of us are human. God has saved us, and He's teaching us that we should learn to live by faith. There are, it doesn't matter if you're talking about health, if you're talking about relationship and family. We're supposed to, you know, I can't in my own self do nothing. I'm going to depend upon the Father. You know, that gives peace. Gives contentment. Man, I thought your house burned down. Yeah. Praise God. It's His house. It's hokey dokey. The cat was in it. Praise God. No, let me show you. Oh. Most of what I teach and preach and practice about faith, I got from a man named Manly Beasley. Brother Beasley's been dead a long time. But I found a couple of his workbook things that I'm thankful God brought in my life. And Brother Beasley said that many of us will not tell people that we're trusting God, that we're depending on Him. Because what if it doesn't happen? We don't want to look like a failure. People say, see there, they trusted God, but it didn't happen. And then we look like a failure. Here's what Brother Beasley said. Who said you weren't a failure in the first place? See, we think it's about us. It's not. It's about Him.
Amen.
We trust Him. However, He takes care of it. That's His beeswax.
Yes.
No, no, turn back to Hebrews 11. I'll show you something. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Watch this. Now, Hebrews 11, someone said that it was the hall of fame of faith. And all these people's names are listed, and they did these things by faith and so on. Hallelujah. I'm for it. I'm for it. I could read all their names, but we're not. Look at verse 13. 11:13. These all died in faith. Stop. Look up here. Look up here. I know you can read further. Look up here. Look up here. If there were a period there, we'd give each other high fives and chest bumps. Glory to God. They died believing God. They all died in faith. Then look what it says. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Excuse me, how can you see something afar off that you don't have? Seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They died and they never did receive what they were trusting God for. They could see it by faith. They were so persuaded of it that they embraced it. They made it part of their life. They embraced it. In fact, they confessed. They told other people. They confessed. Well, I'm trusting God, but I ain't telling nobody. What if it doesn't happen? Are you trusting God or not? I have five brothers and five sisters. I'm number five out of 11 children. I have a sister that's about 9 years or so, 8 years younger than me, and she's a good, godly lady. Her name's Anita. Her and her husband got married when they were young, and so they'd been married 12 years, and three children, two little boys and a girl, and he was preparing for the ministry and went to work and died in a tragedy at work. It's a weird thing, but anyway, died. And my sister and I are good friends, and she has some respect for me, and we are buddies, and we might talk together. And so I think she behaved like a godly lady. I think she behaved like you're supposed to if your spouse dies. Trusted God, depending on Him, and so on. But, you know, she had the moments, roller coaster. And she said, David, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I can't afford this house. We live in the house. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. If I'm supposed to try to sell it or just give it back, or I can't keep the house. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. She said, What do you think? And I said, well, all I can tell you for sure, 100%, is that it's none of your business. It's none of your business. Your business is to trust God. Your business is to depend on Him. If He wants the bank to have it back and the mortgage coming back, it'll go back to them. If He wants you to stay there, you'll stay there. If He has another place provided for you, He'll... Your business is to trust Him. It's not your business to figure it out. Well, when's He going to... That's not your business when. Well, how? It's not your business. It's your business to trust God. Whoa. Some months had passed, and she said, I've got these two little boys, and I cannot be the daddy to these two little boys. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know if I'm supposed to be looking for a man or praying God to bring me the man or how they can get a daddy or whatever. And I said, it's none of your business. It's your business to trust God. If God wants these boys to have a father on this planet, a man to help them, He'll bring him. He'll bring you guys together. If He doesn't, that's okay. God can be his father. Be enough. You're just going to have to say, it's none of my business. I'm going to trust God. I will tell you today that she's still single. She hasn't been married. And her kids are now past 30. And so it's Her husband's been gone more than 30 years, more than 25 years. Regardless, so every time we would begin to talk, she'd go, I know, it's none of my business. I said, that's exactly right. Our business is to trust God. See, we make everything about our business. How's he going to do it? When's he going to do it? Where's he going to do it? Who's he going to bring? How's he going to? I don't want to know. I got to know. No, you don't. It's your business to say, God, this is your business. I trust you. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but if I 100% depend totally upon Jesus, say, Jesus, it's none of my business. Do you know that I stop wringing my hands? I stop being worried, nervous, saying, I trust God. People go, oh, aren't you concerned about your stuff? Yes, so much so. God's going to take care of it. Well, you act like you don't care. Well, I care a lot. I care so much, I gave it to God. And I'm not going to make a wreck of my life. Is anybody hearing me? I know. I'm an old person, and some of you go, well, Brother Dave, do you always live by faith? Do you always trust God? Do you always do it? Well, that's none of your business. The truth is, actually, it is your business. I should be a testimony of faith in front of you. You should be a testimony of faith in your family and your friends. Rather than be the testimony of like, I care so much that I can't sleep and I'm going nuts. That doesn't mean you care. That means you don't know how to trust God. I'm sorry, I'm not a pastor, so it might be why I'm not a pastor, but I'm fed up with crybaby Christians. You're always a wreck. Why don't you trust God? I am trusting God. You are not. You wouldn't act like this if you were trusting God. Anyway, sorry about that. I have two daughters. Angie is... Well, she'll be 39 years old in July. She's never been married. We want her to hurry up and get married. We could do it tomorrow or tonight if you're ready. Single. If you're single between, I don't know, 20 and 60, we'll take you. Anyway. Angie's never been married. Becky is married. Hallelujah. Got a couple kids now and so on. Someone answered the ad in the paper. Praise the Lord. Anyway, only two children, and they never gave us any heartache as they grew up in our home. Never. If either one of them did, we would say Becky did when she was about 16 for about a month in the summer when she was 16. She wanted a friend to hang out with, this girl that she knows and all that, and we said, that's not going to be your friend. And for about a month, she was disappointed, and that's it. That's out of two girls growing up in her home, and I'm not because we're great parents and everything, just by God's grace, but we never had heartache with them, I'm telling you. Now, our oldest daughter has been teaching first grade now for 17 years, and we're grateful. She's a blessing. But I will tell you, 2 years ago, the youngest daughter called and said, Dad, I got to tell you something about my sister. She doesn't want me to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. Well, if she doesn't want you to tell me, maybe you should not tell me. Maybe she should tell me. No, she's not going to tell you. I got to tell you. I said, you don't have to tell us. Just tell her to tell us. Nope, she doesn't know I know either, but she won't tell you. You got to tell her. So she said she met someone on the internet, and she's been seeing them. And there's a Facebook picture of them on his Facebook. They went to a ball game or something. And she said this has been going on for a couple months or a few months. He said on the Facebook page, it said that his favorite thing to do on the weekends was go to the river with his buddies and drink beer. Now, after it's all over and said and done, he said he was a Baptist and he said he was saved. But that was not the kind of guy we were praying for. Does everybody hear me? We were not praying for that kind of Baptist, that kind of saved person. Here's what I told my daughter. Well, it's not changing anything. We're going to continue to pray for her the same way we've prayed for both of you since you were little girls. God, please protect them. They're in your hands. We're trusting you. If you have a man for their life, we trust you. We're depending on you. Thank you, Lord. I said, it's not going to change anything. She said, well, I just know you would need to know. Well, that night when we went to bed, we prayed. But I didn't sleep hardly any. I just couldn't believe it. The daughter who tells me everything in her life, she tells me stuff she should never tell her father. It's unbelievable, the stuff she tells me. It's all kinds of stuff. And she loves it. And she's not telling me about this. And she knows it's not right. Because if it were right, she'd be happy to tell us. And that night, I didn't sleep hardly any. I was brokenhearted. The next day, I asked God to forgive me. And said, I've been trusting you for 28 years, 27 years with this girl. I want to keep trusting you. Forgive me. And I haven't missed a night's sleep since. Not because I'm awesome, but because I can't handle it. God can, and I can have peace and rest in. I can trust him. When's he going to do it? I don't know. How's he going to do it? I don't know. Well, what do you do? And then, aren't you supposed to go fix it? Not necessarily. Some parents think, well, as soon as they find out something about their kid, they jump on them with both feet and say, hey, that's what you got to do, and just throw a fit. And sometimes you're supposed to. But not every time. We prayed and asked God what to do, and I felt like I was supposed to confront her about it. She'd never told me. I was just going to confront her. And the day that we were going to confront her, she was at my home. She was helping us do something. That something happened in the situation that it was obvious this is not a good time to bring this up. And I didn't. Months passed. There was another time. And we brought it up. She never responded with one word. Never said, I'm sorry. Never said, that's true. She never said, that's not true. She never said, he's not that bad. She didn't say anything. She looked at me with a flushed face. You're doing something you ought not do. And I spoke to her probably 5 minutes. She never responded. Told her I loved her. Nancy was there, told her she loved her. Said good night. I did what I was supposed to do. That's it. Still in God's hands. We don't know when. Don't have any idea. Doesn't matter. But the relationship is over. He's not part of her life. She's not part of his life. And it's been for months. And we don't know when it happened. But we know the attitude and the spirit of our daughter is different now than it was during that little time. Is everybody hearing? And we're not awesome in this thing of faith. That we're, you know, can prove, you know, that we're awesome. But we know the truth about true faith, 100% faith, is total confidence, reliance, dependence, totally. Peace is right here in Jesus Christ. Rest is right here. How's he going to take care of the finances? I don't know. How's he going to take care of the health? I don't know. How's he going to take my relationship? How's he going to take it? I don't know. When? I don't know. Where? I don't know. It's none of my business. I'm going to trust him. I'm telling you, it can be life-changing if we live by faith. Let me pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you so much. It's awesome that we can depend on you in every regard. God, every one of us, we need our faith challenged and poked and prodded. And Lord, I pray that we would be people that live by faith and enjoy the peace of knowing we can trust you altogether. Thank you, Christ. Thank you. It's in your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Well, that was a great way to start our week. Amen. I'm so glad that he preached that message and that